Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday morning to Wick time. This is what I know coming up in about 40 minutes. Tell us what you know. We'll have a $25 gift card to Subway on the line for that. But right now we talk with TD, Teron Davenport. He is the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He covers the Tennessee Titans, and he is now on the line with us. Good morning, Teron. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. I woke up, so I won. You know that. So I hope you guys are doing well also.
We've heard you say that before, and I like it. So I've got to ask you, what was your thoughts on what happened here? I know it happened around the country, but since we live here in Nashville and this happened here, what were your thoughts, and now that you're here?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because, you know, I'm from the north. The Philadelphia area. And when I got this job, I came down here blind to Nashville. I had no clue what the area was like, you know, having grown up all my life, hearing that the South was different. You know, I have a grandfather who, you know, went through, when he was alive, so many things in Newberry, South Carolina. I knew that, you know, things were a bit crazy, but I came here and I didn't experience any of the things that I thought I would have experienced. So I'm blessed in that nature. But having seen some of the things that happened, not necessarily that happened, but just the way things changed when it went from day to night,
yeah,
it's a shame, you know, and it's unfortunate that there were people that were there not for the purpose that the peaceful ones were there for. It's unfortunate, but, you know, for those who don't understand, it's been a long time, whereas the frustration that a lot of us have, it's been almost a lifetime, you know, so there's a lot of feelings and emotions that are put into this. And, you know, unfortunately, the way to express it is different for everyone. Well, fortunately, it's different for everyone. But unfortunately, you know, like I said, there's a mix of people who I don't really think have anything to do with what happened, what people were there for. I think a lot of those people are putting a black eye on the actual purpose of the rally and of the protest.
Yeah. If you don't mind sharing, I'm always curious what others think. Because let's just roll reverse. I've never spent any time at all in Philadelphia. In fact, the only time I've been there is just flying through the airport. So I've basically spent no time in Philadelphia. So I've only got just, you know, all the things we hear, right? And, you know, I've been around some of their fans, but I'm not going to blanket the entire fan base because of some of my experiences. So I have, you know, my thoughts of what Philadelphia is like although I've never been there. So what were some of the things that were shared with you of what you were walking into moving into Nashville from the other perspective, if you don't mind?
I mean, I was just told it's the South, and you know the South is not always welcoming. You know, this is what I was told. But even in talking to my dad, you know, he reminded me of some of the things that his father went through, you know, whether it be being chased home from the store with shotguns or seeing his friends, you know, go through things that none of us could even imagine. So, obviously, how can I say it? It has progressed somewhat, but then you have things like you saw what happened in Georgia. You have those things happening, And this is what I was told to be cautious of. But again, one thing that I found with Nashville and why one of the many reasons I've fallen in love with this city is how welcoming it's been. You know, whether it be there at the station or the Titans fans, the Titans organization, you know, this neighborhood that I live in, everything has been very welcoming. So, you know, I'm happy to say the things that I was told to be cautious of have not manifested here. And I don't think they will, but I'm always going to be cautious, you know, because this is something that is ingrained in me to be conscious of my surroundings and understand where I am and what can potentially happen.
Well said. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. What is something right now as we sit here on the first day of June, as you cover the Titans, most of all the dust has settled, although there's still kind of maybe one big piece still sitting out there. But what do you think right now whenever you think of this Titans team going into this season? What's the first thought that you have right now sitting here on the first day of June?
I continue to have the same thought. Run it back. I mean, that's really the thought that continues to dominate my mind when I look at this 2020 season and just seeing the way they ended on such an upward curve is something that, you know, it makes me excited to be able to cover this team this year because I feel strongly that they'll continue that level of success because a lot of the pieces are back in place. Now, obviously, there are some missing, but I think really just running it back, I think that's the thing, and continuing to strive for beyond 9-7, right? That's something that everybody wants to see, and I think they have the potential to have a better season than that this year.
Teron Davenport is with us. He covers the Titans for ESPN. You can hear his podcast, Talking with TD, anytime, but of course you can hear him here on 102.5 The Game as well. Teron, great perspective. And I want to ask you about where we go forward here. I was watching Demora Smith on ESPN this morning talking about some of these things, and I know the NFL and almost every organization in every league has come out and said, you know, we want to be a part of the solution in some form or fashion, right? They won't tolerate what's happened. We got to do something about this, all of this. Do you look for players, and maybe how will you kind of give them the access if they would like to express something or, you know, introduce something of what they want to do to help the situation? I'm sure you've thought about that, and, you know, I'm hoping that they're given some space, right, any player with what they want to do without fearing a blowback or of some sort. Right, because we've seen that there can be a blowback, if depending on what you want to do. But what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, and I apologize. It seems every time I'm on this call, the trash company comes and you know does a thing with our dumpsters. I apologize for the background noise just now. As far as that's concerned, I've always prided myself on covering an athlete the way I would want to be covered, right? And for me, I think it's important to unearth the good things that these guys do because, you know, just like everything else, there are bad apples in the bunch, you know, but unfortunately, all the attention is placed upon the bad apples. Right. And I think we look at guys like Logan Ryan, guys like Kevin Byard. I mean, heck, we could just say the whole Titans, period. You know, every one of them, almost to a man, is involved in something that is positive in the community. And I think it's important to unearth these things that these guys are doing. So for me, anytime a guy has something positive that they would like to do, I'm pitching it very strongly to my editors. And I'm very passionate about making sure that their excellence outside of the football field is exhibited. So when you see a guy like Ryan Tannehill say what he said, I think that's awesome. When you see Will Compton, who you know, obviously is not a Titan, but clearly connected to the team. When you see these guys step up and say, although I can't walk in these guys' shoes, I'm here to listen, and I understand that enough is enough. I think those are things that you have to write about. But it's just not always something that is green-lighted, I guess I could put it that way. But rest assured that any opportunity I can to share their message and show what these guys are doing in support of, you know, any community whatsoever is something I feel is my purpose as a balanced, objective reporter.
Chase, go ahead.
Talking to Teron Davenport of ESPN, of course, talking with TD, the podcast. And TD, I will say this based on, you know, the theme of this conversation, that getting to know you and be co-host with you on Chase and TD on Friday nights, you've also become a friend. So it's and I learned so much from you, not only about football, but everything else.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that and let you know how I feel about you as a friend and a colleague. So,
well, I'm glad one of you three said that.
Well, as he was saying that, I was like, I was thinking the same thing. So I would like to echo because that's well said.
Yeah, I'm just kidding, man. I consider all three of you guys friends.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And Marquise too. We can't forget Marquise. You know, we have same share of music that we love.
Yeah, and Marquise, you know, brings it on the tunes coming back from break. But I read your piece on a guy that we talked a lot about, not only on this show but on Friday nights, in AJ Brown. And you always hear the after a guy that has such a great rookie year, there's always that, well, the sophomore slump. You know, will the sophomore slump happen? And my opinions on him are, I don't see it. Now, do I think that, you know, there's tape on him and teams are going to know what to expect and he's got to continue to elevate his game? Absolutely. That's what happens with good players. They figure out how to adapt. But what are your general thoughts that you had in your blog about him of being able to avoid the sophomore slump?
Yeah, I think just the fact that one of the things that stood out for me was at the end of the year, locker room cleanup, when he said, I fell short of my expectations. And I looked at him like, what? has never been done in this organization's history, even back to Houston days, you know. And he said he wanted 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. I think that right there, that's something that stuck with me. And it just told me that this kid, he's not satisfied, and he's always going to look to elevate his game to another level. Right, and even just getting to know AJ throughout the year, because, again, this is a guy that was one of my two favorite prospects in that draft class. You know, so I had background with him, had him on Talking with TD before the draft, and then just throughout the year, I really just grew to like him as a man. You know, and that being said, seeing the things he did off the field, very remarkable, right? He was there with his pregnant girlfriend in North Nashville cleaning up, you know, after the tornado. He's a guy who delivered signed jersey to a kid for having a great report card. So for me, when I look at him as an overall person, it tells me that he's always going to strive for that next level. So to put it in football terms, I think there are things that will allow him to be able to overcome the film being out there, being better at the top of his routes, watching other football players. You know, I told him to watch Mike Evans. I told him to watch Keenan Allen as guys. You know, his position coach, Rob Moore, is a very good coach, and they work all the time on separation and doing things like that to, you know, take your game to the next level. So I think that's something that will prevent him from having that sophomore slump. And then in addition to that, his personality, he has that assertiveness to say, give me the darn football. And he's able to do it in a matter where it's demanding, but it's not demeaning, right? So he's not trying to, or not dominating, you know. And he and Ryan Tannehill have established a rapport. and that play action passing game with the yards after catch that he's able to, I think he's going to be an outstanding second year player.
Based on your theme that you were talking about earlier of running it back, not to make a pun, but to ask about the running back in Derrick Henry. You know, we had a conversation at the end of last week about, you know, the MVPs and, you know, odds for that. And Derrick is, I think, 50-1. And Darren brought up, you know, do you think that this player is better, the same, or worse than they were last season? And I said Derrick Henry, I think, will be better. And I know that that's crazy to say, but I think he will. And whether it's a long-term contract or playing on the franchise tag, I just feel like he's a player that won't really matter. He's out to win, and he's out to be the best at his position that he possibly can be. So do you agree with that me saying Derrick Henry could actually have a better year than he had last year?
Yeah, I believe wholeheartedly that he could have a better year. And the thing is, a better year doesn't mean 1,600 rushing yards. A better year could be more 100-yard rushing games. A better year could be more of an impact from week one through the playoffs, right? So there are different ways that he could have a better year. I think he will, just because of this system that's in place. Now, do I expect him to rush for 1,600 yards? No. But I think a legitimate 1,300 to 1,400 yards is well within his grasp, and have an impact from the season opener to however far they go, I think is definitely something that will happen and will make him a better player than he was last year.
Last thing, Adam Schefter reported that the Browns made Clowney the strongest offer out there, and yet he and his camp declined. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I honestly think he wants to come here to Nashville, and I think it speaks to the Titans being the best situation for him because he has that familiarity. So the lack of OTAs and minicamp and, you know, what could be a condensed training camp, I think makes the Titans the best situation. So I think he wants to come here, and they're just trying to, you know, get that figure correct. I have no clue what that figure is, but long story short, I don't think he wants to be, you know, in any situation, especially signing a one-year deal that won't be more conducive to him having a dynamite season, parlaying that to a bigger contract, long-term security.
Well, it says a lot about this show's thoughts and about you that two of the three, and, you know, while we all feel the same way, I can't connect the same dot because I'm an Indians fan, but two of the three made those statements, and they're Mets and Braves fan. I mean, you know, they're Braves coming from Chase. That's a Braves fan, right? I mean, so to have somebody in your own division say that, that's pretty impressive. That says a lot about you, man. It says a lot about you.
Well, yeah, and I mean, to have a Braves fan as a friend, you know, that says a lot about Chase, you know, because Chipper Jones and all those guys, man, the pitching staff, all of them, I'm scarred, and I'll never, you know, be able to get over the dominance that the Braves had on my Mets. But, you know, it does say a lot for Chase.
Cowboys fan, too. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, there's, man, I'll tell you what, you guys have
Let
got over
Alabama
some serious
and the Yankees
hurdles.
Are your teams, too, right?
No.
Hey, thanks for doing this as always. What's on tap for talking with TD this week?
You know what? I don't think I'm going to have any guests. I'm just going to get on there. I think we'll probably do a few ranking, and I just want to talk about just the importance of sports and how it's helped, you know, mesh different people. So I think that's going to be one of the themes that we're going to hit on, and I'm going to share some personal things from my perspective as well.
Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great week. We'll
yes,
be listening.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport, Talking with TD is the podcast. You should check it out. That sounds like another good show. I got another good podcast this week. We will come back. This is What I Know at 11:45. And sorry, guys. I got a little bit distracted there. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.